morning.
Good morning.
So good seeing everybody here today, and we've got some friends, some family, some folks visiting from all different aspects of life, and so it's good to see everybody here. If you want to turn to John chapter 14, John 14, that's where our text will be this morning. We are in the I Am statements, and this is the sixth of the seven I Am statements found in the Gospel of John. And as you might have already noted from the kids' lesson and from some of the songs, we're going to be talking about I Am the Way and the Truth and the Life. We're going to talk about direction. There's a brunette, and she is backpacking. She's going in the backcountry, so to speak, and she comes across a river, and she's like, how do I get across the river? So she's going down the trail and on the side of it, and she keeps thinking, man, eventually maybe it'll get narrow, maybe I'll find a bridge, and she just keeps traveling and traveling, and finally she sees a blonde on the other side of the river, and she's thinking, oh, yay, and so she yells, and she says to the blonde, she goes, how do I get to the other side? And the blonde yells back, you are on the other side. How hard is that, right? Direction. We're always wanting to be somewhere different, and we all need them. I think of all the I Am statements that Jesus made, this one is the most controversial, especially for the world that we live in this postmodern world, because people are willing to give Jesus that he is a way, maybe a truth and a life, but not the way and the truth and the life. That really doesn't sit well with certain individuals. They balk at this idea. You know, Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus will argue with Jesus over this particular passage every single time because they don't believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so it's interesting, though, that they will say that he is a great teacher and a great prophet, and yet they don't want to believe this particular statement. So I would love to illustrate this in the ways that I know how, and that would be to get you to my house. All right, this is a way to my house, a way to my house. I drew you a map because some people like to see versus hearing directions. They'd much rather see it. So I drew the railroad tracks and put a few streets in here, you know, and where the creek turnpike is and where the flashing light is. I even give you a north, south, east, and west scenario. So if I gave you this and said, here you go, this is how you get to my house, you would say, great, thank you, I appreciate it. Well, a second way I could explain how to get to my house would be just to verbally tell you that. Just jump out here out of the parking lot, get on 71st or Kenosha as you know it, and head east. All right, you'll go down there about 8 miles, and when there's two lanes and they break into one lane, turn right or go south. Right, that's pretty easy directions. If you go down one lane and there's not two lanes anymore, you went too far, turn around and go south, hit 84th Street, and go back west, and we're up on the hill. That would be another way to tell you how to get to my house. Or I could do it a different way as well. I could simply say, if you want to get to my house, Don, if you would like to get to my house, and you say, well, how do you get there? I said, I'll tell you what, just jump in the car and I'll take you. I'll be your way. All right? So I could simply be the way. Just jump in my car and I'll take you. You don't have to do anything else. I'll be that person. Now, you're going to say to yourself, now, wait a minute, Mike, that's a flawed illustration. It is a flawed illustration because there's other ways to get to my house as well. Most of us would simply pull out our phone, right? Bobby, isn't that what you'd probably do? And dial in my address. I'm thinking that would be a way to get there. You know, I could hail a taxi cab and say, go to 27119 East 84th Street South, there in Broken Arrow, and he'd take me as well. I could rent a helicopter and bungee cord to my house. There's lots and lots of ways to my house. And you say to yourself, well, Mike, you know, you just helped all these folks out because you're telling everybody that, you know, it's the way, the truth, the life, but you just told me there's tons of ways to your house. You're absolutely correct. There's tons of ways to my house. In fact, there's lots of ways to my house that you don't even have to start in this location. You can start anywhere in the city and get to my house. But Jesus wasn't talking about his house. He wasn't talking about my house. He wasn't talking about your house. Okay? He was talking about his Father's abode. He was talking about where his Father is from. So how can I possibly know how to get there? How can I possibly know how to get there? How would I go about getting to heaven? Now, I made an assumption a minute ago, too, that if I gave you directions to my house, that you actually wanted to go to my house. That would be important, wouldn't it? You know, it's like, hey, you want to go to my house? Like, not really. Well, I'll give you directions anyway. That would be kind of a waste of time. So this morning, by show of hands, how many of you want to go to heaven? How many would you like to go to heaven? All right, so this is the right crowd. We have the right lesson for the right crowd. So really we're asking, how do I get there? Now, the way I see it, I don't know about you guys, the way I see it, the best way in my mind for me to get somewhere is to ask someone who's already been there. That sometimes is easy, isn't it? You know, you simply say, hey, how do I get there? Have you been there? Yeah. How would you get there? How do we get to heaven? The way I look at it, last time I checked, the only person who's ever come to this earth that came from there is Jesus Christ. He came, he lived, he died, was raised again, and went back. And I'm thinking that he might have some pretty good directions as to how to actually get there. So the context of the passage this morning is very easily understood. I think it's a very easy passage to relate to and to understand. It's the last week of Jesus' life. This is where we start around, you know, chapter 13 in that area, chapter 12. Last week of Jesus' life, helping you set this up. Jesus and his disciples are participating in the Last Supper. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. We see a lot of that in chapter 13. And during the conversations and the various discussions, he is saying to them that I am about to go through a pretty tough time. I'm about to be arrested. I'm about to be beaten. I'm about to die. And they don't like it. But those are the discussions that they're having. In chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus says this, and I want to set this chapter 14 up. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. Peter, always ready to ask a question, always ready to state the obvious or not state the obvious, says, Lord, where are you going? He's like, you know, you can't come with me. Where are you going? Jesus says, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. So you can't come right this minute, but when it's your turn, when it's your time, you'll be able to come. So as we look at John 14, 1 through 11, we need to realize on several occasions, Jesus has said, I'm going away, I'm going away, I'm going away. This is the first time Jesus has said, but I'm going to prepare a place for you too. So he not only tells them that he's going away, but he says, but I'm going to make it easy for you to follow and so you can be there too. So, John 14, 1 through 11, we ready? Evan's so good. Thank you for hooking me up again. I last-minuted her this time. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Why are their hearts troubled? Because he's just told them, I'm going away. I'm going to die. Things aren't so good. So they're a little stressed. Our hearts are troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Stop. Go back. Sorry. You know the way to the place where I am going. I'm going to say it one more time. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you've seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, and I want to say he just goes, really? Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. We have talked about these I am statements where Jesus is trying to help the people, his followers, his disciples, anyone willing to listen. I am part of God. I'm God. I'm God come down to express to you, to show you, to give you instructions. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Show us the Father. I'm right here. Can you not see the Father in me? I love how he says, trust in God, trust also in me. Now, in the Greek, you have two identical forms, the way it's written down. You have what they call the indicative and the imperative. There's little ways to determine the difference other than the context. And so the indicative could read something like, you already believe in God. I'm going to indicate to you something that you already know. You believe in God, and I know you believe in me, and blah, blah, blah. That would be to indicate. But everyone, all the experts, the scholars, the Greek guys, all say he's saying the imperative here. Because of the context, he's saying, believe in God. Believe also in me. Or has the NIV say, trust in God. Trust also in me. Why? Why? Because you know his faith, his promises are faithful. That he's faithful to all the things. He cannot lie, Scripture tells us. That God, you can trust and you can believe him and you can count on him. And so I want you to do the same with me. I want you to trust me and believe in me and count on me the same way you would with God. Why? Because I'm telling you how to get to heaven. I'm telling you how to follow me where I am going. And I think that's just amazing. And you know what? I'm telling you the truth because I am truth. If it wasn't so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Now, this is interesting, too. In the King James Version, if you read the King James Version, it says, in my Father's mansion. It's an interesting word, mansion, because it's a horrible use of the word for our mentality today. Because when we say the word mansion, what do we think about? Big house, mansion, right? That's what we think of. But the King James Version was written in the 17th century. And in the 17th century, the word mansion meant a modest dwelling. Something, just a little place. But the emphasis wasn't on the dwelling so much it was on who lived there. It was on the abode. We don't use the word abode very often. You say, hey, come to the abode. We're going to watch TV later. You want to come to my abode? You know, we don't say that. But that's the word. To remain in a place, to live in a place like this. All right? In the Greek, the word is mane. Now, we've warped the word mansion into believing we're going to go to this big house in the sky and we're going to have all this stuff, more stuff than we've ever had here, and it's going to be this big mansion, and we've got songs about it. I want a mansion, a robe and a... You know, we sing those beautiful mansion songs, and yet that's not even what he's talking about. Mane, all right, mane refers to a place to abide, a place to remain. The best translation of the Greek would be in the place where my Father hangs out, where my Father dwells, where my Father spends his time. There are many rooms. The emphasis is, again, is not on the house. It's on the presence of the Father. It's where my Father is. It's where we're going to be. Mane is used only two times in the entire New Testament. Both times in chapter 14, both times in John. And in verse 23, here's what Jesus says. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. We will come to them. We, me and my Father, will come to them. And we will make our abode with them. Our mane with them. They will be with us. Luke, it's like your communion thoughts were absolutely perfect. It's about, it's not about all this information. It's about God being with us. It's about God living in us. It's about God communing with us. So he says, we'll come to you if you believe and you follow. And if you trust in us, we'll make our home with you. And that's the most important part. So the context, don't let your hearts be troubled. They're nervous. They're scared. They're upset. They're concerned that they're going to lose Jesus' fellowship. He's just told them in John chapter 13. He's expressed to them, I'm leaving, I'm going away. They're worried, they're troubled about it. And so he says to them, don't be afraid to be alone, because it won't be for very long, because you're coming to hang out with me and my Father. The time is coming where you're going to be with us. So Jesus is saying to them and us that there's an eternal presence that's waiting our arrival. And the fellowship for them was that he would renew his presence with them, that he was going to hang out with them again. He was going to spend time with them again. He was going to be with them forever. And it was also the place where his Father dwells, where his Father lives, where his Father's abode is, and that he was going to spend their time there. And he tells us the same thing, that we're going to renew a presence with him in heaven. What makes heaven heaven is the presence of God. You thought of that? I mean, that's, isn't it? What makes hell hell is the lack of presence of God. To have the joy, to have the love, to have the mercy, the grace, to have God there, the presence of God is what makes heaven heaven. So Jesus is helping them say that and understand that, okay? Jesus is not going back to heaven to turn down the sheets on our lovely beds in our lovely rooms and clean our golf clubs for us or polish our bowling balls. He's not doing that, all right? That's not what he's going to do. What he's doing is he is, having opened the door through his death and resurrection, he's opened the door into the very presence of God. I mean, all through Scripture, think about all of these places where God dwelt, and the inner chamber, the inner temple, you know, that was it, the inner room, the Holy of Holies. That's where God lived. It's where God dwelt. It's where God hung out. For the Jews and in the Jewish mind, when the temple of the curtain tore in two, when the earth shook, it was as if God was saying to you, now you can come into my presence. And the way you come into my presence is through Jesus. He's the way. He's the way. I love, love, love. I love where he says, you know the way. And they're like, we don't know the way. He goes, yeah, you do. You know me. Because you know me, you know the way. It's how you get to heaven. It's not about a path to follow necessarily. It's about a relationship with Jesus. Because he's the way, you know the way. I said this earlier. Popular Jewish belief said, but only God can lead us to himself. The Jews would say it over and over, but only God can lead us to himself. So the next logical, inevitable step is for Jesus to say, I'm it. Only God in the flesh can lead you to me. So that's me. I am the way. If you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is not just to give you strength in your thinking this morning and your faith. Jesus is not just a great teacher. He's not just a great prophet. He's not just a trailblazer hoping that you'll find the way to God. He is God showing us. He's the goal. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Now, I don't know how many of you watch the little YouTube. We have a YouTube video that it's kind of a little intro that Karen does every week. If you don't get that, you can actually go to YouTube and type in Open Door Weekly. And every week on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we do a little 1 minute, 1.5 minute little intro to the lesson. So I told this, if you watch this week, I'm going to tell that same story. And I love it because I think it's a perfect illustration. But there's a missionary who is trying to get to a remote village in the middle of a tropical forest. I mean, it is in the middle of nowhere. And so he goes to a village on the outskirts and he says, hey, I'm trying to get to this village. Do you know how to get there? And they go, well, we know a guy that can get you there. So they get him a guide. And so they take off, he and the guide, and he's going to this remote village, and he's going down at first a path that's very easy to follow, and then they dive off of that path, and they get into, you know, deeper woods and a little bit thicker stuff, and he's like, wow, you know. He goes, you sure you know where you're going? The guy goes, I got it. And then they get in the middle of the forest, and he gets his machete out, and he's sitting there, and he's chopping a path, and he's chopping down trees, and he's trying to get there, and the missionary is now scared, and he goes, are you sure you know the way? He goes, yes, I know the way. And he goes, but there's no path. And the missionary looks at the guy, and the guy says, I'm the path. I'm the way to get you where you're going. You can't get there by yourself. I'm the path because I know the way. And Jesus is saying, I know the way to the Father. Trust me. One author wrote, the human quest for God ends in Jesus Christ. The human quest for God ends in Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, people aren't always seeking Jesus. They want to know how to get this eternal life. They want to know this heaven, but they're not seeking His way. They're not even asking really good directions. They desire easy street, right? Oh, how do you get to easy street? Or how about Satisfaction Boulevard? Or maybe Success Avenue? Those are the streets that they're looking for, but they don't realize they're dead-end streets because they don't lead anywhere beyond this world. It reminds me of the movie Alice in Wonderland. You guys, freaky weird movie. I'm pretty sure Lewis Carroll was smoking dope or something. Can I say that? I mean, I'm pretty sure that's a bizarro movie, right? I mean, they had dope back then for Lewis Carroll to smoke. I'm pretty sure. I mean, he was a strange guy, right? Did they have it back then, Craig? You got a history on it. I don't have a history on cannabis, but anyway, all right. Somebody can hook me up. Opium, yeah, or opium. Something, all right? He was on something. I'm pretty convinced. Maybe he's not, but there's a scene. Alice is lost, right? She's lost. She's trying to find her way. And she comes across the Cheshire Cat. And how do you say it? Cheshire?
Cheshire.
Cheshire. All right. I'll take your word for it. It's a cat. Kind of a large cat. All right. Alice. Here's the dialogue. Alice, would you tell me, please, which way out to go from here? Do you remember this? I love this scenario. Would you tell me, please, which way out to go from here? The cat says, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to or where you want to go. And Alice says, I don't much care where. And the cat says, then it doesn't matter which way you go. Alice says, so long as I get somewhere. And the cat says, oh, you're sure to do that if you only walk long enough. You know, that's a parable about our culture, is it not? People are just traveling through life. They have no direction. They don't know where they want to go. They think they know where they want to go. But then you say, hey, you know, do you know where you're going? They're like, not really. It's like, if you walk long enough, you're sure to get there. You know, when we would go on these long trips and the kids would, how much further? We'd say 5 minutes. Every time, 5 minutes. And they quit asking after a while. And they're like, why do you say 5 minutes? I said, because you're going to be somewhere in 5 minutes. You know, where are we going to be there? Yes, we will be there in 5 minutes. Now, where we're actually going is probably 3 hours and 47 minutes, right? Or if you're Jeremy and he's got his, he's more precise than me. But everyone wants to know, when are we going to get there? How fast can we get? We want to know. And Jesus is saying to them, hey, you're troubled, you're sad, you're upset over the fact that I'm going away. But I want you to realize that I'm going to go back to be with my Father. And when I go back there, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you're going to sit with me at the right hand of the throne of God. It's a place of honor. It's a place of respect. And I'm going to clear the path so that you can get to where you need to go. Directions are often unheeded. So many in the world, and I never realized this, so many people are walking aimlessly. They're wandering. Are they not? W-A-N-D-E-R, wandering through life. And they're also wandering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, through life. They're wandering and wandering. They're wandering through, trying to figure out what's going on. Is there something better? Is the best thing in the world for me to shoot 300 and, you know, get a hole in one, be successful in my job, make an A in school, you know, for Oklahoma Sooners to win a football game? I mean, what is it, you know? Is that the pinnacle of life? Yeah, life, where we do life together. We do life here. This is the place we do it, planet Earth, right? And yet we're helping and hoping that each one of us has this vision for something so much bigger, better, greater, and farther away than just this life. And so that's what we're shooting for. There are lots of ways. I'm going to bring it back. There's lots of ways to get to my house. And there's lots of ways to get to your house. There's lots of ways to get to a restaurant or a mall or a vacation spot, okay? But there's only one way to get to heaven, according to my Bible. And people balk at that and get frustrated by that. And Oprah Winfrey, you know, just chastises this woman on her show one day because this woman says, well, I think the way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And she's like, oh, I refuse to believe that. And the lady, I mean, she's just really pounding on her. You can look it up on YouTube. I didn't like it at all. But they put their trust in the wrong place. And I always said, well, I used to trust in Jesus. Now I'll trust in Oprah, because she obviously knows more about the scenario than the Bible does, right? That doesn't make a lot of sense. But people oftentimes, intelligent, smart people by the world standards, are blazing their own trails using their own wisdom. Illustration. Small plane, pilot, flying, going to a location with three passengers. You got a brilliant scientist, a minister, and a college kid. He's just backpacking across the backcountry. And these three passengers are in the plane. The plane starts experiencing some problems, and the plane starts going down slowly. And the pilot comes back, and he says, okay, bad news gets worse. It's my plane. I got three parachutes, but since it's my plane, I get one of them. See ya. Jumps out. He's gone. So the other three have to decide who gets the other two. The brilliant scientist says, you know, I'm working on a beautiful scientific breakthrough. It's going to change mankind. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. I'm a genius. I'm smarter than you guys. I get the other parachute. Grabs, jumps. Minister says, hey, look, tells the young guy, he goes, man, you're young. I'm old. You know, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know where I'm going. No worry. You take the parachute. And the kid, the backpack kid, goes, sir, the brilliant scientist just grabbed my backpack. We still got two parachutes. Let's just go. We're good to go, all right? Brilliant scientist, right? Sometimes we grab the wrong backpack. Or we grab what we think is our safety. We're gonna get a parachute and fly safe through life, but we're just grabbing the wrong thing. And people are putting their trust in the wrong places. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I love it. Peter says it. He's inspired by the Holy Spirit when he says it. But he says, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Obviously talking about Jesus. And then Paul, inspired. I believe his words. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. I'm thinking I can believe Peter, I can believe Paul, and I can believe Jesus when he says, I am the way. Have you seen the bumper sticker before? It's not as popular as it used to be. Jesus is my co-pilot. Have you seen that one? I see that, and I used to think, that's pretty cool. I'm going to get one of those. And then all of a sudden, I thought, you know, wait a minute. Yeah, why is he your co-pilot? He should be your pilot. See, we're excited about having Jesus in the front seat while we're driving and we're heading in the direction that we want to go. And we're like, Jesus, you're my buddy. Glad you're with me on my journey. And I'm gonna keep you close to my side, but I'm going to go where I want to go because I'm in control. And that's not the type of bumper sticker that we need to have. That's not the type of a lifestyle that we need to exhibit, because he's in control and he's going to take us where we need to go. You need to have a bumper sticker that says, Jesus is my pilot. And I'm along with him for the ride. He knows where he's going. He knows the way. He's the one that I trust. So, question this morning is, are we letting him lead? Are we letting him take us to where we need to go? I mean, I asked the question, you know, how many want to go to heaven? We got, I think, pretty much 100%. Yes, we want to go to heaven. Then we need to let him lead us. He's the one that's going to take us to where we need to go. I think that's very, very important this morning. Before we offer an invitation, I do want to ask this. Not this next Sunday, we're going to talk about the vine. Jesus is the vine. Really, really cool analogy he makes. He is around a lot of vineyards. You know, Israel was considered the vineyard of the Lord. We're going to talk about being attached to the vine and being attached to that which is alive. And so we're going to talk about that next week. But then the following week, we are going to do, that's the Sunday following Thanksgiving, we want to do a children's dedication. It's really a family's dedication, but we're going to dedicate our children to the Lord. We're going to have a special service of prayer and read some scriptures. And as a church family, as a body, we want to help raise our young people. We want to help those who have young ones to do that in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Question is, how many are going to be here that have young children? Because we want you to be a part of it. So if you're not going to be here for that Sunday following Thanksgiving, would you kind of do like this and raise your hand, especially if y'all aren't going to be here? Everyone else is going to be here? Okay. All right. I'll talk about it. Would you be here on the December 6th? Would you guys be here on December? Okay. We may flip it to December 6th. Yay, nay. Y'all be here? Because we want as many of our young families here as possible. Okay. We'll do that December 6th, and I'll do something different than the Thanksgiving following.